message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
It doesn't necessarily mean that there are three humans or three persons separately from themselves. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Before Jesus left, he said he wouldn't leave his disciples comfortless. That's John chapter 14. He said he will not leave them comfortless. He will send them another comforter. Same as him, of the same kind as him, to abide in them forever. And he said he would teach them all truth. Praise God. And Pastor made us understand in the previous classes, the previous Bible studies we had, that the Holy Spirit teaches truths about Jesus. And then the mysteries, there's no more mystery when it has to do with church, the Bible or Christ, a person. But all of those mysteries were demystified to the apostles, and it was recorded for us in the epistles, so that we would read and know those things. Amen. And then he also spoke of, in a previous slide, he also spoke of the knowledge of the Holy Spirit being confined to salvation. That means the Holy Spirit lays emphasis on those things that Jesus came to do for us, in us. Amen. And then we understood from our previous classes that any teaching that does not cover Jesus' finished works on Calvary is not a teaching that we should embrace. So there is nothing new the Holy Spirit will be revealing that will be outside of what Jesus has done. That is, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit. It doesn't contradict the finished works of Christ and the teachings that has to do with the finished works of Christ. So it's more like he reveals the truth, and the truth which is Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit helps in discernment as well. He guides us into all truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. So today we'll quickly be talking about the Holy Spirit being our seal. Amen. That's what we'll be dealing with today. The Holy Spirit being our seal. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. The Holy Spirit is a seal. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. I read, it says, in whom ye also trusted, that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. When we came into Christ, we became sealed. And the Holy Spirit is a seal of our salvation. The Holy Spirit is a seal of our salvation. A seal means a final thing that is done as a proof of a completed work. Hence, the Holy Spirit is a proof of our salvation. We have the Holy Spirit, and he is the proof that we are saved. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit abides in us forever. Praise the Lord. He abides in us forever. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he abides in us forever. And in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, as well as on our Bibles to Matthew 28 verse 20. When Jesus was going to leave, he said something very profound to the disciples. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20 said, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to abide in us forever, not temporarily. Praise God. Then in Galatians chapter 4, let's turn our Bible also to Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. He says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit that was given to us, that conferred on us sonship. So, we know we are saved. We know we are God's children because we have the Spirit of God dwelling on our inside. And the Holy Spirit is not, he's not on and off in the life of a believer. He abides in a believer forever. So it's not like when we, like the popular thing that says, when you sin, the Holy Spirit departs from you. Then when you quickly confess your sins, he jumps in back right inside you. The Holy Spirit is not on and off. It's not like NEPA. It doesn't come on and goes off on a believer. He said, I will abide in you forever. Amen. Pastor said last week Tuesday, he said, in the first place, if you commit a sin or you do wrong and you don't feel bad for doing wrong, it means in the first place you're not even saved. That you do something that is wrong and you know instantly that this thing you did is wrong is because you have the seed of righteousness planted on your inside. So I once asked someone, if the Holy Spirit comes on and off in a believer for a particular wrongdoing, then who or what is that thing that makes him or her knows that he just did something that is wrong? Because the truth is, someone who is not saved does not feel bad or wrong for doing something that is seemingly wrong. And that's why people can go ahead, do lot of evil, commit lot of crimes, and then there's no pricking in their hearts. There's no scratch on the inside of them as to what they do or what they are doing part time. Though that you feel wrong, you feel this thing I did is not proper at each time is a proof that there's a seed of righteousness planted on your inside. You are not of that nature of that thing you did. That's why you could know that what you did was wrong. The Holy Spirit is the earnest, a pledge given to certify a contract waiting consumption. When the item you pay earnest for, when you pay earnest for an item, and you end up not buying that thing, you have no right to take your money back. So God is saying that I'm giving you my Spirit as a guarantee to give you new bodies. If by any reason I don't fulfill my part of the bargain, my Spirit I can't take back. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. And He is to dwell in us forever. God wouldn't take the Holy Spirit away from us. Like, He won't take it back. That's what He's trying to explain here. As the earnest, the Holy Spirit is the earnest. So it's our pledge of redemption. Praise God. This is a huge deal. The earnest is even more valuable than the promise itself. God won't let His Spirit to perish. This is a guarantee so strong enough to clear off every insecurity or doubt about fulfilling a promise. So God has gone out of His way to let you know how much He's committed to give you a new body. Praise God. God is not what it takes, the technology that is required to have us raptured, to have us carried away when Jesus will appear in His second coming, is already in us, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's not going to do a new technology, not going to invent something new. And that's why the Spirit of God has been given to us as a seal of our redemption, as a proof that we are saved. We have the Spirit of God on our inside, and that is our proof of salvation. And that is what it requires for us to be taken away at the second coming of Jesus. Praise God. A believer who is afraid of the second coming of Christ is like someone who is afraid, a bride who is afraid of her groom on her wedding day. So it's more like you're the bride and it's your wedding day and you're afraid. Oh, I'm afraid of my husband. I'm afraid of my groom. Because that's what the Bible says the church of Christ is. We are Jesus' groom. Amen. So we are not panicked by the news of rapture, the second taking away of the saints, the second coming of Christ. It doesn't frighten us. Instead, it gives us reason to rejoice because we have a hope of salvation. There is a hope of salvation on our inside. So we don't panic at the hearing of the second coming. We don't panic at the hearing of rapture. Instead, we rejoice because there's a hope right on our inside of a better life and a sweeter life with our groom. Amen. So it's not proper for a believer to be frightened by the hearing of rapture or the second coming of Christ. Instead, it's supposed to be like an exciting news. It's supposed we look forward to at all times. It's something we should earnestly look forward to, not something that should scare us. Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. Now, he that had wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who had also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. So the news of an afterlife should excite a believer, not scare the believer. You know, like, it's so amazing that some believers are not even certain of an afterlife. You know, they are still afraid. Someone once said to me that we had a discussion a long time ago about a crisis that happens in the north, and someone said to me, he said, I would prefer to die, to be on a queue, to be slaughtered. And then I was in amazement. I wanted to know why. Why would I want to be on a queue and turn by turn, they are killing people? Like, why would I desire that kind of death? And when I asked to know why, the person said, so that before it gets to my turn, I will have made my ways right to God, and I'll be sure that I'm going to heaven. Also, I was really amazed. I was like, wow, really? And then he went ahead to say that, oh, imagine you're in a moving vehicle. Only God knows the thoughts you're thinking in your heart. Then you now have an accident and die. Where will you go to? And then at that moment, I saw that, okay, this person actually lacks basic knowledge. That's the problem. The problem is, it's not like the person really desires to die in a horrible way. But the person has a faulty ideology of the afterlife. So, what did you even do in the first place to be saved? What effort did you put into your salvation? And what effort can you possibly put to maintain your salvation? It's a gift. God poured his love on us. He lavished his love on us. His benevolence, he lavished his on us. And he is able to keep us from falling. Jude chapter 24. Praise God. He's able to uphold us. In John chapter 10, it says that all that God has given him, he is able to keep until the day of redemption. Praise God. So we are not meant to be afraid. We're not meant to shiver over the afterlife, on the hearing of the afterlife, rapture or being absent in this body. Rapture and the second coming of Christ. Instead, it's meant to excite us because we have the Holy Spirit on our inside and he is the seal of our redemption. Amen. The Holy Spirit is God's symbol of assurance of salvation. We are sure beyond doubt that we are saved because we have the Holy Spirit on our inside. That is why we are sure. He is our assurance. So we are not in between decisions. We are not in between, like, we are not wondering. We are sure. We know, like, we know our names, that we are born again. Some years ago, someone asked me if I was born again, and I said yes. And then somehow the person felt a little bit offended. Like he said something like, "You are not the one to say whether you are born again, but people will look at you and say if you are born again." Like, so it sounded, that was like the first time I was hearing something like that. It sounded very strange to me. And I was wondering, like, okay, like, I'm not supposed to know that I am born again. So people are supposed to know on my behalf that I'm born again. Remember, Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirits, that we are the sons of God. So we have this assurance of sonship. We have assurance of salvation because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on our inside. That is our assurance of salvation. That is our assurance that we will not be destroyed with the devil. We will not be destroyed with sinners. That is the assurance we have. The Holy Spirit resident on our inside is our major assurance. So we know without doubt that we are God's children because the Spirit of God dwells right on our inside. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I read from verse 20. It says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who had also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11. "He that raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us up." Praise God. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. So the agency of resurrection dwells on your inside. Praise the Lord. So the agency of resurrection dwells on our inside. So I know that I will be resurrected because the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. So I know that I will be resurrected on that day. I know that when the trumpet sounds, I will go. Hallelujah. Because that Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells on our inside. He's the agent of resurrection. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." This is the provision of God in salvation. He who has begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ here talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Amen. So we are going to appear before the Father with exceeding joy. There is no fear of hell for the believer. Praise God. There is no fear of hell for a man who is in Christ Jesus. The message of hell is not for you. It's for those who have not come into Christ yet. We are already in Christ, amen? We are here on earth, physically. But we are already seated with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Amen. Heaven is not the believer's reward. Heaven is not the believer's reward. Heaven is the place of reward. So it's not like God made heaven to use it to reward you for coming into Christ. No. It is that place where we go to receive our reward. So heaven was made for believers. Amen. Heaven is made for believers. So it is incorrect for a believer to be afraid. I was trying to explain. I was trying to be apologetic to someone one time. And I said, if you bought a vehicle going to Nyanya, for example, will you be afraid that the vehicle will take you to Lafia? Like, it's strange. Like, I was trying to explain, okay, if you bought a vehicle, you stop a vehicle and said, okay, my destination is Nyanya, Abuja, for example. And then while you're inside the vehicle, you're praying, "Dear God, let this vehicle not take me to Lafia. I don't want to go to Akwanga. I don't want to go to Lafia. Like, and you are praying earnestly that this vehicle should take you. Then you should know for an assurance. You should have an assurance of the afterlife because you are in Christ. If there is no hope of salvation, then we are not different from unbelievers. We are not different. People have a lot of ideologies about heaven. Someone said he wouldn't want to give his life to Christ, that he will commit a lot of sin because on the day of judgment, he wants his sin to be so piled up so that God will, out of anger, throw him and overthrow him off hell. So in the bit of throwing him to hellfire, God will overthrow him so he will land at the other side. You know? Very crazy opinions. And then one other person said that God created hell. And if he didn't want people to go there, he wouldn't have made it. Excuse me, hell is not meant for any human God created, man. Hell is the devil's destination. It's the devil's own, devil's house, praise God. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to come. Because God this is not God's desire for any man to perish. That's why he made a salvation plan for mankind. So that we would live with him. So that we would enjoy with him, praise God. To buy us back, to come to a life, the kind of life he designed for man before the foundation of the earth. So for a believer, heaven is not, we are not afraid. We are not uncertain. We are not beating around opinions. We are sure, we have the assurance. And the assurance we have is the indwelling spirit in us. That is the seal of our salvation. He is the proof of our salvation. He is the evidence that we have eternal life. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So as a believer, you are a citizen of heaven. Amen. You are a citizen of heaven. Just like you're a citizen of Nigeria in the flesh. Even those who are Nigerians who have dual citizenship, it is still indicated that they are Nigerians. So we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. As Pastor will always say that it is being apologetic to want to use natural things to explain spiritual things. Is to help people understand. So when we come into Christ, we became citizens of heaven. And the proof of that citizenship is the Holy Spirit resident on the inside of a believer. So he is a seal of our citizenship. He's our visa. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our visa to heaven. Praise God. So heaven is our home. Amen. Is a place of our reward. It is not just our reward. We go there to receive our reward, to receive crowns. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 13. It said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another in these words. Praise God. Apostle Paul was writing the church in Thessalonica. They were facing a lot of persecutions at that time. He was encouraging them not to weep, not to be too sorrowful about those who they have lost, who are in Christ. Amen. for someone who dies in Christ, who is a believer who dies, like who ceases to live in the mortal body, there is hope of eternal life. And that was what Apostle Paul was saying. He said that they shouldn't mourn too much for those who had died, believers in their midst who had died. And then he encouraged them that they will rise again on the day that, on the second coming of Jesus, they will arise again. Their mortal bodies will be quickened. Amen. So wherefore comfort one another with this word, you see? He said, comfort one another with this message of the second coming. It's supposed to be a message of comfort, not a message of terror. So hearing about the second coming of Jesus Christ shouldn't frighten a believer. It should minister hope to you that there's a better life for you in the hereafter. It shouldn't frighten you. Imagine, see what Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Be comforted that Christ is coming again. Be comforted that you will receive new bodies. Be comforted that you will be taken up in glory. So it's supposed to be a message of comfort, not a message of crying, not a message of sorrow, not a message that will minister fear to the hearers. So it shouldn't minister fear to you. The second coming of Jesus should not minister fear to you as a believer. Instead, it should minister joy and rejoicing to you as a believer. Hearing that Jesus is coming again the second time should make you happy. Should make you want to leap for joy with so much anticipation. Just like I said earlier, that which bride is afraid of meeting her groom on her wedding day? Apparently, there is none. There's always an excitement that comes with you coming up to meet your groom. And Jesus, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our groom. So if we hear that Jesus is coming again and he is going to resurrect those who are dead, give them new bodies, give us new bodies, and we are going to meet up with him in the sky, then that news should give us reasons to jubilate, to be happy that, oh, Jesus is coming, hope of salvation. We should be excited about it, not gloomy, not afraid. Like those who are not sure of their salvation, those who are not sure of their eternal destination. Believers, we are sure. We have an assurance. That's my emphasis this evening. We have an assurance, and our assurance is a seal that we have on our inside, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. I read verse 1 to 11. Just follow me carefully. It said, but of times and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they shall see peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. I want us to note that he said day. A day. I'll read verse 2 again. He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall see peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He said, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, he's saying that for a man who is not saved, for an unbeliever, the coming of Jesus Christ is to him as a thief in the night. For them, it is sudden destruction. He said, but in contrast to that, in verse 4, he says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Amen. So for us, the wrath of God is not coming upon us. The wrath of God is not coming upon those who are saved. It's not coming upon a believer. If you are saved, the wrath of God is not coming upon you. And the coming of the Lord is not going to be unto you as a thief in the night. Destruction is not coming upon those who are already saved. But in contrast to that, by the salvation, by the finished works of Jesus, and by the salvation that we have come into, we are delivered from wrath that is to come. Amen. Verse 10 said, who died for us, that whether we be awake or be asleep, we will live together with him. Amen. So whether we be dead by then, or are still alive in the physical, we will be with him together. Verse 11 said, wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as ye also do. So this message is supposed to be unto us as consolation, as comfort, as words of comfort, words that should spring forth joy in our hearts. That our Lord and Savior is coming to get us. He's coming to marry his bride. Amen. So it's not for us unto terror. It's not for us unto destruction. But rather, it is for us unto joy and rejoicing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So for the believer now, we are not afraid of God's second coming. Those destructions are not coming on us. He said, but instead, let's live soberly and in love with the breastplate of faith and with our hope of salvation intact. So we are supposed to live in love. We are supposed to live soberly in love with our hope of salvation intact and the assurance we have of an afterlife in Christ because we have the Spirit of God on our inside. The believer in Christ is not going to hell. Amen. Contrary to some other opinion, the believer in Christ is not going to hell. The believer in Christ is rapturable. Amen. It's rapturable. Like the way some people end letters in those days, it's stay rapturable. The believer in Christ is rapturable. What it needs for you and I to be raptured is already on our inside. And that is the Holy Spirit. So God is not going to do a new job when Jesus will appear. It's already in us. So when it happens, when the day comes, it won't be unto us like the thief in the night. We'll be taken away. Amen. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1:13-14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We are God's purchased possessions. We are God's own. We belong to God. We belong to the heavenly pattern. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is God's brand that we are truly his property. It is the proof that we truly belong to God. It is God's brand. And it proves that we are truly God's property. The pastor said last week that he doesn't believe that someone can have a false spirit. I was talking with someone recently and I asked, are you born again? And she was in between words. She didn't know if to say yes or no. And instantly it occurred to me that I have been there before, where you keep coming out for altar call every Sunday and then still, you're still not sure. Like even after the altar call, if they ask you, are you born again? You still don't know the answer. You know, because somehow you still don't know the answer because we're not well taught. So immediately I sensed that. Then I asked her, I said, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? She said, yes. I said, so you pray in tongues? She said, yes. I said, okay. That means you are born again. You probably are not just cool enough to know that when they say, I told her, when they say you are born again next time, don't hesitate. Say yes. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is our authentic brand that we belong to God. Amen. So we are not afraid of the afterlife. We are not afraid of our eternal destination in that sense. We know for an assurance. We know like we know our name that we belong to God because we have the Holy Spirit on our inside. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is a seal of our redemption. Amen. He is a proof that you and I are born again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's give Jesus thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Open your mouth and pray in other tongues. Say, Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the seal of our redemption. We thank you, Manda da Kosi Brekada da Losa Tadaba. Thank you for the seal of sonship. Thank you for the assurance of sonship. Thank you for the assurance of an afterlife. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sealing us. Thank you for buying us back. Lord, we thank you. Manda da Kosa Brekada da Kosi Brekada. Ilana na Kosa Brekada da Kosa Brekada da Kosi Brekada da Nos. Rintada da Kosa Brekada da Kosa Brekada da Kosi Brekada da Dosa Tadaba. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Manda da Kosa Brekada da Kosi Brekada da Dosa Tadaba. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we're giving thanks. Amen. Have we been blessed? Have we been blessed? All right. Thank you so much, our online audience. Thank you for joining me with us this evening. We hope that...
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 80 74 07 85 66. We celebrate you.